Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lacaine. Today we'll talk about women in politics and government. Women have made considerable progress, with Nancy Pelosi as the first female Speaker of the House, and women treated seriously as candidates at all levels, including president. But despite these gains, women still are only 24% of state office holders, and it's even lower representation at the federal level. Only 18% of federal office holders are women. That means that men still hold over 80% of the seats in the U.S. House and Senate. Although we think of the U.S. as a world leader for women's rights, in fact, a world ranking of women in national legislators shows the U.S. ranks only 83rd in the world for percentage of women in national office, behind Bangladesh and Bolivia. Even at the state level, the pipeline from which most federal candidates emerge, men still hold over 75% of the seats. Why are we still so far from gender equality among office holders? And what can we do to have equal representation of women in government? How can we encourage more women to run for office and win? Our guest today is a national and international leader in helping to elect more women to office. Patricia Russo is the executive director of the Women's Campaign School at Yale University, a nonpartisan political campaign training program for women interested in running for office and managing campaigns. Based at Yale Law School, the Women's Campaign School at Yale is a leading program attracting women from the U.S. and around the world. A nationally respected leader, Patricia has held numerous leadership positions in public, private, and nonprofit organizations centered on women's rights. She has also held leadership positions on federal, state, and local political campaigns. Patricia is a member of the National Leadership Team of Political Parity, a bipartisan initiative founded by U.S. Ambassador Swanee Hunt and former Massachusetts Lieutenant Governor Carrie Healey, dedicated to increasing the number of women in elected office. Patricia earned a BA in political science from George Washington University and a certificate in healthcare and nonprofit management from Yale School of Management. Patricia Russo, welcome to All Together Now.
Thank you, Eleanor. It's so great to be with you today and your listeners.
Yeah, wonderful. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Can you say, why does it matter if men still hold 80% of the elected positions?
You know, those, and I recite those statistics constantly myself, Eleanor, and I just always find them both so sobering yet inspiring to me, because it's still very much the white boys network. I mean, it's really very much political office is still very much held within the ranks of white men. And that's why programs like mine are so critical, because we need to get more women in the mix. We need to get more women being inspired and trained so that they are a part of the conversation in Washington and in our individual states. We are, as I like to say, 50.1% of the population. I think it's about time we started acting like it.
Absolutely. Well, it's kind of an issue of basic fairness, isn't it? I mean, if we're over 50% of the population, we should be at least 50% of the decision makers in government.
Very much so. And, you know, the school was created 20 years ago. In fact, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary. We just graduated our 20th class at Yale Law School, and I was so happy that you were a part of that week with us this year. And you would think 20 years in the making of doing the kind of intense, thoughtful, brilliant training that we do, that we would have more critical mass by now. But I think that there are other issues that we need to look at to really see and understand what are the other additional barriers that are occurring, which are making it a challenge for women to enter the race. And so that is something that we at the Campaign School are especially interested in mining down, because we have these incredibly talented women who are well-trained and are just kind of waiting for the right moment. And what we tell our graduates is you need to create your own moment.
Right, exactly. Well, for our listeners, could you explain a little bit about what the Women's Campaign School at Yale is? I mean, it's a fantastic program to help encourage women to either run or work on campaigns, but can you describe exactly what you do there?
Sure. It's a five-day boot camp intensive. It's not theory. We tell women, if you are interested in reading a book about campaigns, stay home and keep your $1,500 and don't come to our school. Our program is all about the skill sets and the techniques that you need to either run for public office yourself or run a campaign. Our program is a two-pronged campaign. It's a school. It's for women who are interested in running for public office, but also for women who are interested in campaign management. Because again, Eleanor, if you look at the political landscape nationally, there's still an inordinate number of white men running political campaigns. And so we felt it was important when we established the school 20 years ago to really offer both of those opportunities for women, both for women interested in running and women interested in running political campaigns. So the kinds of things that we cover are everything that you would need to run an effective campaign, starting with speech presentation, debate prep, how to hire campaign staff, grassroots organizing, how to get out the vote, polling, election day organization. So it's very nuts and bolts. It's very hands-on. And we're really very pleased because we are able to attract truly the most eloquent and well-established Democratic and Republican consultants mostly from D.C. to serve as our faculty for the week.
Yes, it was fabulous. I was there for part of it this year, as you mentioned, and I was very impressed at the caliber of people you have on the faculty, and they're people who really know what they're doing, and they have years, if not decades, of experience in running and managing campaigns and running for office. So the Women's Campaign School at Yale has been around for 20 years. Have you been involved since the beginning?
Pretty much so, on and off. It's a great story. I love telling the story of our history. I think in order to move forward, you have to understand your history and perspective. And many of your listeners may be old enough to remember that 1992 in this country was the year of the woman. And it seems that we seem to cycle out in that every 20 years we get 1 year. Then, like, last year was the year of the woman as well. So I feel at this rate we're never going to hit critical mass at this, you know, at the rate we're going with every 20 years being the year of the woman. But that was really the first big year of the woman, was 1992. And it was a very exciting time nationally in that we had an inordinate number of women running for public office, both on the Democratic and the Republican side in our country. And in Connecticut, for whatever reason, small Connecticut, so many of these candidates came to Connecticut to fundraise. So it was a very, very busy time for me. At the time, I was head of the Permanent Commission on the Status of Women and was very good friends with our current congresswoman from the New Haven area, Rosa DeLauro, as well as a Democrat, as well as a Republican former congresswoman, Nancy Johnson. And both of them were bringing in all of these wonderful congressional candidates from all over the country on both sides of the aisle to raise money in Connecticut. And as you may recall, and others who are listening today, so many of those women were elected. And we were very proud of ourselves. We were very excited. And I remember thinking, wow, we've really leveled the playing field. We are on our way to achieving political parity. And we're never going to have the experience that we had had in the past with no women running. And then 1993 happened, and it was as if 1992 was a dream, because in 1993 we had virtually no women running for Congress. We had women running for re-election, but we had no new women running for Congress, and we were just devastated and frustrated. And Rosa DeLauro is a very dynamic, over-the-top, fabulous, opinionated woman, and she called in myself and Nancy Johnson, her colleague in Congress, and for some deep thinking about what are we going to do. This is just unacceptable. And there was a woman by the name of Andre Brooks, a reporter at the time, who lived in Westport, Connecticut, who came to Rosa and said, I think we need a campaign school for women. Now, at that time, Eleanor, there were many campaign schools coming up that parties, political parties were running. Emily's List was right at the fore at that time, as was the Wish List, which was the Republican version for Republican women running for Congress. And so we said, wow, maybe we need something that's bipartisan, something that's issue neutral, which is who and what we are. And maybe what we need to do is we need to bring together Democratic and Republican women to train together. And we took we took our idea to Yale Law School. The dean at the time was Dean Guido Calabresi, who loved the idea.
And he was a great guy.
Fabulous guy. And he was the one that gave us a chance. He was the one that said yes. And he said, let's give it a year and let's see what happens. So I'm happy to report that 20 years later, and I think we're on our 15, we've really found a happy home at Yale Law School and Yale University. They have lovingly embraced us. They're so proud to be a part of the work that we do. And we are the only nonprofit based at Yale Law School. So I'm very, very proud and humbled with that as well.
That's a great story. I remember that in 1992, the year of the woman, and I have, you know, a lot of us felt the same way. We actually thought, you know, coming of age there in the 1970s, the one women's movement, it looked like women were on a steady march to gender parity in politics and government and everywhere. And there were gains, and, you know, yes, having a woman Speaker of the House is great, and yes, having a woman candidate for president is great. But who would have thought in the 1970s that, you know, 40 years later, 35 years later, we'd still only be at 20% max?
Exactly. And that was my frustration last year. I mean, I know everyone was jumping up and down, and we were happy in that moment that we had reached 20% in the United States Senate. And I remember a great quote from Senator Claire McCaskill at the time, who said, wow, this is great. We can have a caucus in the ladies' room for the first time ever. But it's still not enough. It's just nowhere near where we should be. And so that's why you'll see younger women. We have definitely been starting to trend younger, which has been very exciting to see. 20 years ago when we first started, Eleanor, the majority of our women who were coming to the school were in their 40s and 50s. So when you look at women and their lives by then, their kids are pretty much launched. It's their time. And so many times, you know, back then we would see women who were, you know, ready and who had the opportunity and the time to say, this is my time and I want to do this. I've always wanted to run for office. I've always wanted to run a political campaign. And that now that my children are launched, I have the opportunity to do that. Now we're seeing women coming in their 30s. Who are actually thinking about a career, if you will, in public service. And that has been a very different and exciting culture to be, you know, a part of creating. It's been really wonderful to see.
That's great. I'm encouraged to hear that. And what is the profile for the women who attend now, and how has that changed over the 20 years? Any other changes besides age?
We know the way in which we talk a lot about the way in which men come to making the decision to run versus the way women. Now, this is talking in generalities. It's not true for, of course, every male or every female out there. But when a man decides to run, he sees this as a career opportunity. He sees this as good for his business, whatever his business is. He's a lawyer or a businessman, etc. He sees this as a positive. Okay? And then oftentimes a man will just decide, yes, I want to do this, I'm going to run. So things like, gee, is anyone going to support me? Am I going to be able to raise the money that I will need to run a campaign? Because as you know, the amounts are just staggering. Do I understand the issues of my community in order to run an effective, successful campaign? These are the kinds of issues that men just assume that, yes, of course, they're going to be able to figure out. Women, not so much. Women do not traditionally see it as a positive to their career, whatever they choose their career to be. And they also come to making the decision very differently from men. And I call it the Girl Scout syndrome, and I feel comfortable saying that because I am on the board of the Girl Scouts here, Eleanor. But we never feel that we are prepared enough. Do I know enough about my district? Who's going to help me raise money? What kind of impact is this going to have on my family? Those are the kinds of questions that women routinely ask of themselves that men just don't. And again, it's just by virtue of our experiences in life, you know, our culture and, you know, who we are as people. I remember working, this was 20 years ago, I remember working for a member of Congress who is planning to run for the United States Senate. And the first question I asked him was, well, is your wife on board? And he said, gee, I should really tell her. So that's just being a woman and being an Italian woman and just being so family oriented anyway. I couldn't even imagine making a decision in that vacuum of not bringing in my spouse, my daughter, my, you know, immediate family, because I would want them to be a part of my team. Men just assume that, of course, their family's going to be a part of the team. We had one student who said, well, my husband says I can come, but I have to be home by 6 o'clock and dinner has to be on the table. And I said, this is not the school for you.
That's amazing. And, you know, we had Dr. Jennifer Lawless on this program recently, I'm sure you know. And
yes,
she was talking about this point that she's written a book on, you know, why don't we have more women in office? And she pointed out that the single most important explanation is, you know, the women don't think about running and they don't choose to run as much. And the single biggest reason why that's so is that women feel unqualified. And this whole thing, that it's exactly what you're talking about. And I was actually curious to see if her analysis matched your experience, which it sounds like it does.
Well, you know, it does, absolutely, Eleanor. And the other thing, I'm constantly quoting Jennifer. She's just done such wonderful, groundbreaking work in this area. I'm so grateful to her for it. But the other issue is that all the women that she's interviewed, 9 times out of 10 say, well, no one ever asked me. Women are not routinely asked. I say to women, this isn't the prom. You don't have to be asked. Men don't wait to be asked. Men offer themselves up. I'm full of stories because, as you know, Eleanor, I've been doing this so long and loving it. But a couple of years ago, I got a call from a graduate who was getting ready to go to her town committee meeting that night and was planning to tell everyone the good news that she was running for state senate and wanted their support, would love their support. And suddenly there's a new guy in town, young, lawyer, ambitious, and suddenly he's making calls. And she said, wow, she said, I've been here in this community for 15 years, and I really want this seat. And I said, well, you need to go in, and you just need to say, gee, you know, people are calling me and urging me to run, and so I'm here with the good news. I'm running for office. And she got, you know, she got the support. But in that moment, that teeny tiny moment between the two of us, she's like, wow, is he just expecting that I'm going to step aside because he wants it? And I said, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant what he thinks. You can make the case for yourself. So a lot of times, you know, women need some good mentors in their lives. They need some cheerleaders to say, you're fabulous. You can do this. Usually women are over-prepared for their runs for office, for the most part. Again, I'm talking generally. But for the most part, women who decide that they want to run, they start planning and thinking about, okay, what are the tools and the skills that I need, but also what is going to be going on in my personal life to get things in order so that I will have the time and the space to do it and to do it well.
Right, exactly. And that issue makes it more complicated, as we know still, even now in 2014, women need to think more about the children, if they have them, or families generally, and how does that fit into the picture? You know, another factor that kind of creates a drag on women choosing to step forward and run.
But exactly, which is why we had always seen in the past women waiting later in life. There were women who had delayed their own runs because their children were teenagers, and their children were mortified at the prospect of their mother running for office, you know, for Board of Education or, you know, something on the local level. Pat Schroeder, former congresswoman from Colorado, tells a wonderful story in her book. She wrote an autobiography about her life in Congress. And she tells the story about how even when you have an enormously supportive spouse, and she had a wonderful spouse in her husband and her, you know, wonderfully supportive children for the most part. And she recalls the time when it was her first day in Congress and her phone rang on her desk, and it was her son who calling from Denver. Hi, Mom. And here she thought he was calling to wish her well, and he was calling wondering what was for dinner. And she's just chuckling to herself because she's thinking, I'm in D.C. I won't be home for dinner. So she says to him, well, gee, I don't know, honey. Where's your father? Oh, he's in the living room reading the newspaper. But she said, well, I suggest you ask him what's for dinner. So it's it's just kind of educating your family about what kind of impact this is going to have on their lives as well. You know, it's something that you're called to do and you really want to do, you really want to make a difference. But others in your life will have to shift as a result. So even when they're so very supportive as her husband and her children, she still got that question.
Absolutely. So given all of this lack of impetus among women to run and the concerns that women have, how do you get the women to enroll in your women's campaign school at Yale?
Well, we do a lot of, we have our five-day program in June at Yale Law School. Your listeners can go online to learn more about us at wcsyale.org. And also on the website is a complete listing of all of the classes that we cover in the 5 days. But then throughout the year, we do one-day workshops, we do forums, we do speaking engagements all over the country, just promoting the program, talking about what kinds of things you need to think about before you even consider running for office. And those workshops and, you know, other one-day opportunities serve as feeders to the 5 days. Clearly, I do a lot of fundraising throughout the year as well. The program itself, All In, runs us about $250,000 to operate for the 5 days. As you well know, training of any kind is very expensive. Political training is especially expensive. And so we try to keep the tuition affordable because we don't want money to be a barrier. We do have some scholarship opportunities available. We do help women fundraise to get here. I mean, that's, you know, we spend an inordinate number, half a day talking about fundraising because it's just that important. If women don't understand the importance of fundraising, if they don't feel learn to achieve a certain level of comfort around fundraising for themselves, they will not be able to be successful. So that's how important fundraising is. So oftentimes we will help them raise money so that they can attend the program. So that's basically what we do throughout the year. For instance, right now I'm in the process of planning for the fall and the winter in terms of programming and, you know, where I will be going and when. And if your listeners are interested, they can go online to our website. Again, it's wcsyale.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. And so as soon as a date and time and place is set, we send out the information via our e-newsletter, and they will be one of the first to learn of what is coming up in terms of upcoming events that we'll be hosting.
That sounds great. And I know there's a lot more to talk about with this, but right now we need to pause for a break. This is Eleanor Lacaine speaking with my guest, Patricia Russo, Executive Director of the Women's Campaign School at Yale University. Welcome back to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lacaine speaking with my guest, Patricia Russo, the Executive Director of the Women's Campaign School at Yale University. Patty, I was wondering, you know, you've been at this for a while here, the 20-year connection with the Women's Campaign School at Yale, and do you have kind of a favorite success story, or, you know, a woman who came to the program and who ended up running for office, or, you know, what's your favorite story from the alumni of your group there?
Wow, I have so many favorites. We'll probably run out of time. But probably one of my favorites was a relatively quiet, shy woman who came. She had always run campaigns, and she was really coming to the school to hone her skills on campaign management. And by the end of the week, she decided that she would like to run for public office. And so she stayed in touch, and we talked about the kinds of things that she needed to get in, you know, get ready for, just personally and professionally. She was thinking about getting pregnant and just, again, all the kinds of life things that women need to think about before they launch themselves. And so she decided to run for Congress in upstate New York, and she ran. And then when an opportunity presented itself to run for the United States Senate, which was really very sudden, she made sure that she was prepared to take advantage of that moment and ran and won. And she's now United States Senator from New York, Kirsten Gillibrand.
Wow, that's impressive. She went to your program?
She is a proud graduate, yes, of the Women's Campaign School at Yale. And another terrific graduate of ours is Gabby Giffords from Arizona.
Oh, I love Gabby.
We love Gabby. Gabby was so thrilled about coming through our program. And then the following year, she ran for Congress and won. And she said, I want to give back. This has been such a strong, loving community of women, political women, both Democrats and Republicans. She said, I want to do something. I'd like to serve on the board. So she actually served on our board for 2 years.
Oh, that's awesome. She seems like such a delightful woman.
She's a love. She's an absolute love. And then I have an interesting story. A woman called and had been accepted, and she said, you know, my daughter, I'm running for state rep, and my daughter is my campaign manager. She's only 17, but she's so driven and she's so smart. And back then, you had to be at least 18 to attend our school. So we interviewed the daughter, and we were so taken by her. She was a very wise 17. She was really quite something. And so mother and daughter attended the school. Her mom went on to win her state rep seat thanks to her daughter's, you know, brilliant due diligence as her campaign manager. And then 2 years later, ran for Congress and is our newest member of Congress in Connecticut, Elizabeth Esty.
Well, that's amazing.
It's amazing. We also, you know, we hear from many of our students, I mean, many of our graduates, when I'm traveling, I like to meet, and I like to let them know via our Facebook page where I'm going to be. I have time, and I set up a block of time, or I'll set myself up, for instance, at the Yale Club, and I'll tell them I'm going to be there on such and such a date and time, and I would love to hear from them, and I'd love to see them, and I want to hear, of course, great news, but even more importantly, I want to hear about the challenges, because oftentimes, when women are running for office, Eleanor, they're so paralyzed by what to do and who should I talk to by an issue or challenge they're facing that oftentimes they don't know who to reach out to for help. So we want to be that helping hand to our graduates. And so we sit with them and we say, we want to hear the hard stuff. We want to hear, you know, what challenges you're facing, because we want to be there for you and we want to help you through. And I think that that is one of the greatest barriers to women running, is that they don't feel that they have that kitchen cabinet or a group of mentors that are really going to be there for them 24/7, who aren't going to sugarcoat things for them, but are really going to be very upfront with them and tell them the truth. So I had a woman who I had not heard from in years. And out of the blue, I get this lovely email from her saying, I'm so embarrassed. I went through your wonderful program, and I have yet to run for office. And I think she graduated about 5 or 6 years ago. Well, she's currently a vice president at Google in California. And she said, Patty, I have to tell you that all the skills that I learned at the Women's Campaign School at Yale, I use every day at Google. That's a success story. So, you know, we really try to help women understand that the path is often not linear when women decide to run for public office. And sometimes their lives get in the way and they've got to hold off and, you know, look for opportunities to run or wait until there's an opportunity that makes sense. We want them to be thoughtful risk takers. And so as a result, you know, sometimes it's not as immediate as we'd like. But I have to say the last 2 or 3 classes at our school, they are coming to the school and they're planning for a 2015 race, a 2016 race. So they are planning to run sooner versus later. And that's really good news for America.
Yes, I think that's right. I was actually going to ask you about that, seemed to me from the program that you have and what you're teaching there, that the lessons that women learn can be applied to other areas of their lives. I mean, things like planning and budgeting and being clear about what you're doing, that, and also just the whole focus on leadership and women stepping up, that We really need that. And whether or not women decide to run for office or run a campaign, that they benefit from the Women's Campaign School at Yale, from the lessons in the other areas of their lives as well.
Exactly. And, you know, oftentimes we have women coming to the school who are phenomenal fundraisers, Eleanor, in their lives. They're fundraising for their kids' schools. They're fundraising for their churches and synagogues. They're fundraising for something in their community that is really important to them. But what, at the thought of them fundraising for themselves, that's the challenge for most women. They can't even imagine asking a potential donor for a donation for themselves, for their campaign. Barbara Mikulski tells a wonderful story more than a couple of years ago now, because she's been in the United States Senate for 20 years. And when she was first running for the United States Senate, she told the story about all of these lawyers who wanted to run for Senate. And she had been in the state, in the House of Representatives for 10 or 12 years prior, but they just assumed that there was one of these guys who was going to get the nomination. And then she started making phone calls and making it very clear that she wanted the nomination, and yes, of course, she could raise the money. And she would hang up the phone, and then she'd have a conversation with herself saying, how the heck am I going to raise this money? And so she started making the tour. She was immediately endorsed by Emily's List, which was enormously helpful. And so she started traveling throughout the country fundraising. And she'd go to these lovely homes with these, you know, beautifully dressed women. And she'd say, ladies, I don't need the $100 checks. I need the $1,000 checks. So think of it as a shopping spree. You know, look at the way you're beautifully dressed. That's the level of support that I need from you today. And it turned out to be a very effective strategy for her. It worked really well. So the importance of using humor, making the connection, believing in yourself, that's huge. Believing in yourself so that you value your self-worth and you're even able to articulate why people, men and women, should be making the investment in you.
Right, exactly. And it's so wonderful you've got the program there to help women learn what they need to learn to be able to get out and do that. And, you know, there's now a number of programs that have sprung up to recruit and train women around. You mentioned Emily's List, which has been around for quite a while. Early Money is Like Yeast, which, you know, started with the money for the women and then saw, well, they need more than money. They need the training, too. And more recently, Emerge America has come on the scene. And do you know, I'm sure you're asked by your funders, but how do you know how effective the programs are at encouraging women to run and making them successful if they do run?
You know, the thing I love about the political parity group is this consortium of campaign schools for women. And some of them are partisan, some of them are not like ours. Swanee Hunt has created this enormously fabulous opportunity for us to meet several times a year in D.C. and talk about our individual programs. And the more I learn about the individual programs, the other programs out there for women, I find it synergistic. I find that all the work that we're doing on behalf of women helps all of us. And so a two-day session at Emily's List will help prepare a woman to come to our five-day intensive. A one-day workshop will help change a woman's ideas about whether or not this is something that she would like to do. I often tell women who I think are not quite ready for our program because it is such a major commitment and it is so intense, I suggest that they go out and they work on a campaign. And they are, as you know, the campaign cycles are such that they are never ending. I'm old enough to remember, Eleanor, when we had a beginning, a middle, and an end to a political campaign. And now one just rolls into the other, to
Absolutely.
The next, to the next.
Multiple
so It's exhausting. You know, people are tired. But if this is something that you really are thinking intuitively, yes, this might be the work for me, the work that I would like to do, I'd like to be a part of, it's relatively easy to get involved locally, politically. And oftentimes women will come to me, they'll see someone dynamic, a Rosa DeLauro or Barbara Mikulski or Nancy Pelosi speaking on CNN, and they'll think, wow, I'm thinking of a job change. I want to do that. I want to be that. Yet they have no idea all the hard work that it takes to be that. So oftentimes I suggest to those women, get out there, get your feet wet, go out and work on a political campaign, and then come back to me. If you really love it, come back to me. And if you really hate it, that's just as valuable a lesson, because you know, so many women have said to me, Patty, I don't know what I was thinking. I have no interest. It's so disorganized, and it's so, you know, things change from minute to minute depending upon what's going on in the, you know, in the community and the press, and I'm not that kind of person. I think that's helpful information. I think that's good to know. You know, in the past,
it's not for everybody.
Right, it is not, and it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, we see how both male and female candidates are just, you know, just beaten up in the press. And if you don't have a tough skin, and if that is not something that you find interesting to have to deal with, then this work is not for you. It's very, very difficult work. But at the same time, if you feel in some way that you would like to make a contribution, and the way in which you would like that to make that contribution is serving in public office, then you need the skills to deal with all the negativity that comes with the package. Unfortunately, I think women are better suited at that, quite frankly. I think that, you know, oftentimes we check our egos at the door, and we talk about tough issues that we want to face and we want to fix that are beyond ourselves. And that is something that women do every day in their lives. And I think, you know, to bring more of that to Congress is really going to be the only thing that's going to change and shift the way in which we do the business of politics in our country.
Yeah, amen. I think it's, you know, we need an infusion of women to run and to do what happened in 1992, get a big blast of more women coming. And what do you think it's going to take to get more women to do that? Like in 1992, what with the spark was the Anita Hill hearings, and women around the country were outraged that Anita Hill was being so disrespected by the members of Congress during the hearings. So, you know, what is it, what can we learn from that might create another surge? Do you think maybe a call to action, your country needs you, or what do you think it will take to get a big surge of women?
You know, I think it's going to take a combination of different kinds of things, quite frankly, Eleanor, because, again, you look at 2014 and, you know, the way in which the American people, like, what is, I think Congress is at a cozy 9% approval rate right now. I know it's in the single digits. And so people are just feeling so disconnected and feeling like they want nothing to do with it. And, you know, throw everybody out, which is why, you know, you have kind of burgeoning groups coming. You've got Tea Party people, and then you've got very progressive people who just kind of want to create something new and different to just, again, have a different kind of conversation, because the conversation that we are having now is basically non-existent. And just getting more women, supporting women, I think that is something else that, you know, we really need to continue to inspire women who are in public office to take the time to inspire women who aren't in office yet but should be to join them. There's a select woman that I'm working with here in Connecticut who, as busy as she is mentoring 15 young women in her town that she meets with once a month, who, you know, are leaders in her community. And she said, Patty, I want them all to run for office, and I put them on notice that they will all one day be running for office, either here in my town or somewhere, but they will be running for office. And I hear these stories, and I'm so heartened by those stories, but it's going to take that kind of intense one-on-one kind of connection, I think, to really change the whole dynamic in this country. One story I wanted to share with you and your listeners was the story of Susan Collins and Patty Murray. And you may be familiar with the story because it was pretty widely discussed in the press at the time. But, you know, when we were going through all the last possible government shutdown, both Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, and Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington, both U.S. senators, colleagues in the Senate, had been sitting in these meetings, endless meetings, hours and hours and hours, a lot of posturing going on both sides, and nothing moving, nothing getting accomplished. And Susan Collins went to Patty Murray one night and said, I'm just so tired of this. I'm just so sick of it. I cannot sit through another one of those meetings where nothing is getting done. Will you sit with me tonight and craft something that we can present tomorrow? And so they stayed up all night and put forward what ultimately became the deal that ended the sequester. So that's why we need more women in office, because we get things done.
That's exactly right, and that's such a great story. And that, you know, it's about, you know, sometimes the men want to be the show horses, and the women there are the workhorses. They want to get the job done. That is a great story for why we need more women in, you know, whether Democrats, Republicans, whatever. Just like, let's go in and take care of business there. Mm. Well, how do you find the women who come to your program?
Well, the thing that's been great about that is, you know, in the beginning when we were first starting out, of course, since we were brand new, we relied heavily on a lot of advertising and political magazines and just kind of doing general advertising, press releases to newspapers and the like. But now I have to say, we of course do a lot of online advertising during our application period, which runs February through April. But now, about 2 years ago, we reached out to our graduates and we said, we need you to clone yourselves. We need you to reach out to five of your most stellar colleagues or friends in the political world and say, you deserve to be at the Women's Campaign School at Yale. Please apply. I will support you. You need to be there. You need to be at Yale. And I'm happy to report that the last two classes, the majority of the students that we had attending were recommended from our alumni base, which is fabulous. They're cloning themselves, which is really, really exciting. And so many of them said, I didn't think I was quite ready, but when Daryl called me and said I should do it, I thought, well, if Daryl thinks I'm ready, maybe I need to think about this and maybe I should attend. And so that's been really exciting to see. I call it my new old girls network. You know, men are so great at it, and I've learned so much from men who have mentored me over the years that they've just been so supportive and just my cheerleader when I needed the most. And I think we've got to do that. We've got to be better at that. You know, women are still not great at that. And so many times myself, when I have helped a woman and she's grateful, she'll say, what can I do for you, Patty? And I said, what you can do for me is you can reach out to another woman. That's what you can do for me. And they do. That's what I think is, that's the kind of effort that I think needs to happen.
Yeah, and that fits right in with what you're saying about that one-on-one outreach and what a great way to do it. How many women are in the program now? How many were there this year?
There were 73 there this year, and I also would like to just add that 25% of our students are from other countries. And that, we've always had an international component to our program. And we work through two international organizations, the National Democratic Institute, as well as the International Republican Institute. And they have just been terrific and just great friends to us in putting forth women of the world who they feel should be attending the program. 2 years ago, we had a woman named Kawala, who was running for president of Cameroon, attend our school. She was detained for a day because she had been kidnapped by her opponents. When she finally arrived, I said to her, "You need to talk to the class about your experience, because while we have many challenges here in the United States, the fear of being kidnapped by our opponent is not one yet that we have to deal with." And she got up and she spoke to the class and she shared her experience. And that moment was such an incredible bonding opportunity for the entire class, by our women from other parts of our country as well as women from other parts of the world, were so overwhelmed by not only that they couldn't believe that this was happening anywhere in the world, number one, but they felt such a connection to Ka and felt that,
well, that's a great story, because as hard as it may be here, it can be harder, you know,
exactly,
in other parts of the country. That there's so much we could talk about, but unfortunately we're out of town. But time, but very quickly, if people have more questions, Patty, how can they connect with you?
They can email me at prusso@wcsyale.org, or they can call at 203-734-7385. I'd love to talk to them.
Thank you so much, Patty, for being with us today and for all your great work.
Oh, thank you so much, Eleanor. I've had a wonderful time.
In case you've missed any of these programs, they're available in the archives. If you want to learn more about Breakthrough Solutions, go to thebreakthroughway.com and see my blog on the Huffington Post. If you like this program, please go to iTunes and like it there. Our theme song is Let's Give Them Something to Talk About, sung by Bonnie Raitt. Next week, my co-host Charlene Spretnik will be here with her guest. I'll be back 2 weeks from today. Thanks for joining us. This is Eleanor LaCane with All Together Now.